Actually, my lesson is staying connected to the vine. Sorry. It's the same thing. Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory once more, Lord, because you are such a good God. Thank you, Lord, that you are always for us. You're always working for us. Even, Lord, when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it, we can know that as long as we're connected to you, Lord, that you are working on our behalf. So thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, we ask your blessing on this lesson. I pray, Father, that you will give me the utterance to deliver it and help your people to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I have been working on this lesson, and I have changed it at least half a dozen times. But I think that I finally got, you know, I got the final version here. Staying connected to the vine. Let's read from John chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is Jesus talking here. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you shall ask what you wish, and it shall be done unto you. So here Jesus is saying that he is the vine. And actually, he's talking about two things. He's talking about himself, the vine, and he's also talking about branches, the branch. He is the vine, and we are the branches. Now, we all know what a vine is. And we also know what a branch is. A branch is, you know, is a part of the tree that attaches itself to the vine, and it gets nourishment from it. In other words, the vine provides nourishment. The vine provides nutrients for that branch. And as a result, the benefit is that the vine blooms. And you know, it's nice and green, and it blooms, it gives flowers and eventually fruits. Because of its connection to the vine. The vine is the main source of food for that branch. Without the vine, the branch is just a branch, a dead branch. As long as that branch is connected to the vine, it will live. As long as the branch is connected to the vine, it will bloom. As long as the branch is connected to the vine, it will bear fruit. Now, we've all seen branches that were broken off, maybe after a storm, you know, big storm, you know, you come out on the road, if you live in a place where there are a lot of trees, and there are broken branches strewn all across the road. Or maybe a gardener may have pruned a branch, you know, for whatever reason. But sooner or later, you know, that branch will die because it's not attached to its source. It has no way to get food. It has no way to get nutrients. And so, you know, the same goes for us as, you know, as children of God. If we desire to be fruitful, if we desire to bear fruit, if we desire, you know, to just bloom, we need to stay attached to the vine, who is Jesus. If, you know, if we get it in our head, oh, you know, I can do this on my own, you know, and we just go off anyway, I'm getting ahead of my lesson. So we have to stay connected. There are benefits to staying connected to the vine, benefits to staying connected to Jesus. Because the vine is the one who gives life and power. We as followers of Christ, that's where we get our strength. That's where we get our power from. That's where we get our productivity from. like he says, you know, without him, we are nothing, absolutely nothing. Some of us like to think we are something without God. But the truth is, take God out of the picture and, you know, we're nothing. John 15:5 says, this is Jesus again, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, the key here is to stay attached to the vine. That's the key. Sounds simple, doesn't it? As long as we're attached, you know, to the vine, we're okay. But, you know, when we, you know, disassociate ourselves, you know, or we're not paying attention to our Christian walk, this is how, you know, we can get disattached or unattached to the vine. When we don't pay attention to how we walk, you know, as people of God, we have to be careful how we walk. We have to be careful how we talk, you know, how we conduct ourselves. People are looking at us. We're mirrors. You know, we may not realize it, but you would be amazed at the things people will notice about us. I mean, you know, and sometimes when I'm here in church, you know, I'm just looking and I'm observing and I'm seeing things about people. One Sunday I came to church and you know, praise and worship was just great. The Spirit was flowing and everything. And I think I was somewhere over here or somewhere in the middle before we changed everything up. And there was a young lady over there, and she was just worshiping, and she was just praising God. And she had her hands up in the air, and she had no idea I was looking at her. Because she blessed me. You know, just looking at her and seeing how involved she was, it sort of gave me, it was like a shot of adrenaline or something. She had no idea I was watching. See, we don't know, you know, who's watching us. We are mirrors, and so we have to be careful, you know, how we walk, how we talk, how we conduct ourselves, you know, and as long as, you know, if we just get careless, and, you know, and we don't pay no attention, you know, we just you know, just do our own thing, go off and do our own thing, walk, you know, whatever, you know, it doesn't call for all that. If you heard people say that, oh, it doesn't call for all that. Yes, it does. Yes. If we are going to stay connected to the vine, we have to put effort into it. We have to, you know, we have to watch ourselves. We have to be careful how we carry ourselves. You know, if we don't, you know, if we're not aware of you know, the things around us, you know, and we don't take care to walk with him. This is one way how we, you know, we connect, we stay connected. We talk to him. Talk, you know, Jesus likes to talk to us. God likes to talk to us. He likes to hear from us, all of us. You know? You know, we commune with him. We allow him to lead us. We allow him to guide us. Allow him to teach us. That's how we stay connected. But when we don't pay attention, we don't listen to what he's saying, you know, we're too busy doing our own thing, too busy with our work and all this stuff. Or we just go off someplace, you know, we just decide, oh, you know, we're okay. That's exactly the kind of attitude Satan is looking for. Those of us who are careless, you know, have this nonchalant attitude, you know, we're not paying attention to the things around us. We have to be mindful of the seasons and the times we live in. Right. We're living in perilous times. Those perilous times that the Bible talked about, it's here. And, you know, some of us aren't paying attention. We're off doing something, you know, doing our own thing. A few years ago, I remember telling a story about some chickens that we had. We had this, what we call fowl. You Americans would call it hen. And she had hatched some chickens, about, I don't know, 10 or 12 chickens, and she was out in the yard with her chicks. And I was in the yard. I don't know what I was doing, but I was there. And suddenly, I mean, there was this huge commotion There was feathers was flying everywhere, and you know, wings were flopping, and there was a lot of squawking and clucking, angry clucking, and dust. I mean, a pile of dust, and the thing just shocked me, and I didn't know what was going on, and you know, and then out of the dust, I saw this bird just ascending, and he had a chicken, one of the chickens in his feet. And the angry mother hen, you know, she was just, I mean, she was mad. She was livid. And she was flopping up and down and cackling and everything. And I thought, oh my God, he snatched one of her chickens. And what had happened, that chicken didn't stay with the mom, the mother hen. You know, the mother hen was over here and all his brothers and sisters, and he was way back over here. And that hawk, it was a chicken hawk, he was perched on top of one of our coconut trees. We had lots of coconut trees back in those days. And he waited for the right time. And then he just swooped down. And by the time that mother hen realized what was going on, and she flew, he had already grabbed that chicken, and I'm telling you, he wasn't letting go, you know. I guess he was really hungry. he saw meal, and boy, he went in for it. And so, you know, the thing shocked me. I'd never experienced or seen anything like that. But you know what? In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, "Be alert and vigilant, for our adversary the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The Message translation reads, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is not a lion. He likes to pretend to be one. He tells himself that he is one. You know, we say the lion is the king of the jungle, but he likes to believe that he's a king. So he goes prowling around like he's some kind of a lion, but he's not. You know, and he roars like one, trying to scare us. But if we happen to be like that chicken, and we don't stay close to the vine, see, that chicken didn't stay close to her mom or his mom. He was off over here doing something all by himself. He didn't have the protection that he needed. When we are not, you know, when we are like that and we don't, you know, we don't walk close to God, we're not connected, you know, we don't have fellowship with him, we don't have communion, you know, we're not hearing what he's saying because we're not in tune with him. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, when the Lord speaks to me, if I'm not really paying attention, I could miss it because it's so, so soft, you know? It's so quiet. Sometimes I think, did I imagine that? Did I really hear that? And then, you know, sometimes I reason it to be, no, that's, and then I hear it again. See, we have to be in tune. We have to be attuned. We have to be, you know, paying attention, you know, so that we can hear, you know, and we're only able to do that when we're connected. We cannot be careless about our Christian walk. We have to stay close to God. We have to, you know, to be under his wings, under his protective care. Because if we don't, the enemy, we're giving place for Satan to attack us. We're making it possible for him to attack us. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Abundantly, don't you love abundantly? Abundantly, it's an adverb. And it means, it's from the word abundant. And it means ample. I looked up some of the meanings. Bountiful, generous, rich, sufficient, bounteous, crawling with. If you ever heard anybody said, oh, it was crawling with so-and-so. No end of. I like that. teeming with, overflowing, plate full of. Doesn't it sound wonderful? To me it does. See, you know, Jesus came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. And the only way we can have that abundant life is to stay connected. You know, we have to make an effort. It doesn't happen just automatically. The opposite of abundant is depleted, insufficient, lacking, meager, needy, poor, wanting, rare, scarce, sparse. Anybody likes any of these here? I don't. I sure don't. You know, none of us want these. But this is why Jesus came, so that we would have life and have it more abundantly, that we would have a rich life, generous life, sufficient life, life abounding, bounteous, crawling with, no end of. That sounds good to me. But we have to stay connected. That's the thing. That's the key. We must stay connected. Or, you know, as the caption said just now, abide. We have to live, you know, in the vine. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted by what's going around, on around us. In John 11:25. Here, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See, Lazarus was dead for 4 years. I mean, for 4 days. I'm sorry. 4 days, Lazarus was dead. Everybody thought, okay, he's dead. He's not coming back. Martha surely thought that. But she didn't grasp the power of the one she was speaking to. She didn't really know who Jesus really was, that he was the vine. He said he's the resurrection and the life. See, to the child of God, those of us that are connected, death is not the end, but the beginning. The beginning of a brand new life, free from sin, sickness, disease, pain, worries, torment, stress, you know, everything here on earth that plagues us. Here we see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, raise him up and brought him back to life. When we stay connected to the vine, stay connected to God, we will be raised up and brought back to life. Even though we may die physically, you know, we have eternal life. We have the eternal life that Jesus promised us. But when we're disconnected from the vine, not only would we have, you know, physical death, but spiritual one too, a spiritual death, you know, which is exactly what the enemy, you know, he would love to inflict that on us. But as long as we keep our connection sure, we'll have that abundant life that Jesus promised us. See, God is a faithful God, and he keeps his word. We can take his word to the bank. We can trust him. We can depend upon him. You know, and not too many people these days, you know, we can depend on. They may have good intentions, but situations and circumstances beyond their control may not allow them, you know, to promise, to give us what they promise. Maybe we might think we have a job, you know, a nice job. One day I was talking to a friend of mine a while back, and she told me I'm married to this job. And I thought, I didn't say this to her, but I thought to myself, you married to the wrong thing. No, that job can dry up just like that, especially now. I mean, with the plague that was released on us, a year or so ago, it has changed so many things, and so many people that thought they had a job, a secure job, they lost it. They found out they didn't have a job. I have a son who lives in D.C., and in order to keep his job, he had to take a 40% pay cut. Oh, that's a big cut. Yeah. You know, 40%. So nothing is promised to us. That's why we have to abide in the vine. That's why we have to stay connected, because he's our source. When everything else dries up around us, you know, Jesus is forever flowing life towards us. He will open doors for us, doors that we never saw. He will give us ideas, you know, how to make a living. One of my friends was telling me the other day when the virus hit, she's a hairdresser and she could no longer do her work because, you know, she couldn't have people in the shop and all that. And she said God gave her the idea and told her, make masks. Make some face masks. And so she made a lot of them. She said, that's how I was able to pay my bills, making these masks. She didn't think, she never thought about it. But God said, go, you know, do this. See, God will give us ideas when we're connected. He will open doors for us. He will show us things that we never saw before. But staying connected is the key. Abiding in him is the key. No matter how difficult the situation looks, no matter how dead it looks, Jesus will bring it back to life. He will breathe life back into it. In Genesis, we read where Jesus breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and you know, and he became a living soul. God will breathe life back into a dead situation. He will breathe life, you know, in, you know, when the doctors say it's over, you only have 30 days to live. When we're connected and we're trusting and depending God, depending on him, he'll breathe life into those bones, into our dead bones. He'll breathe life into us and raise us up. But connection is the key. When the storm comes, and we all know the storm will come. We've all had storms. And you know the thing about storms, they don't tell you when they're coming. They just show up. You know, you went to bed, you were healthy, and everything was going good. And it's, you know, some rain, you know, time in the wee hours of the morning, your phone rings and you answer it. I'm telling you, I hate when anybody calls me at 3 and 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh my God. My heart just goes to because I'm thinking, who is calling me at this hour? It can't be good. It's got to be bad. You know, bad news comes at that hour. And, you know, and just like that, things can change, you know? You had a hefty bank account, a sickness hit you, and before you know it, you're depleted, your funds are depleted because the insurance wouldn't pay up. You know, I don't particularly trust insurance companies, and we've had a bad experience with insurance company a while ago. You know, even when you have these things set in place, you cannot put your faith and your trust in them. But we can trust God, can't we? We can depend upon him. We abide in him. We connect to him. We live in him. You know, healing comes when we're connected. The enemy will try to come and throw stuff at us, you know, to wear us down, discourage us, zap our strength. But when we're connected, no matter what, we hold on. We don't allow him to pull us away. You know, he will protect us, provision, he'll provide for us. He will deliver us. Deliverance will come to us when we're connected to the vine. Whatever we need to live a victorious life, the vine will supply it. You know, the enemy will use even the word of God to bring fear into you. One Wednesday night, I was on my way to church, and I was listening to this particular the pastor that he comes on every afternoon about 6:30 to 7, and I like to listen to him. And he was teaching from Revelation and some from Daniel, and he was talking about, you know, all the things that will happen. Will occur in, you know, when she's just before Jesus comes back, and he was talking about tribulation and all this stuff, and I was listening because, you know, I find that kind of stuff interesting. And And so he started talking about, you know, the food supply will dry up. There'll be a scarcity of food. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, man, I better start storing up some food, you know. And I'm thinking, man, I need a bigger house with a basement so I can get some food. I can stash things. You know, I'm driving, you know, but these thoughts are going wrong in my head. And this thing really got to me. You know, fear was beginning to come in. And God was so good, I walked in, and the church had already started. And I was sitting somewhere over there, and, you know, I was kind of shuffling about because, you know, I'm still thinking about storing up food. Got to store food, got to get away, store food. And my Bible opened up to the book of Job. I forgot the chapter and verse, but these words just jumped out at me. And I never forgot it. It said, thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field. And thou shalt be in league, I think, with the stones of the field, with the stones, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And I knew that was God. He saw my fear. He saw me panicking, and he gave me that word. You know, my Bible didn't just open to that. That was God. Yes. Why? Because I was connected. And he saw that I was troubled in spirit. See, the enemy was trying to steal my peace. And God, he gave me peace when he gave me that word. When I saw that, just like that, all my anxieties and everything just disappeared. Isn't God good?
Yes,
He is. So, you know, he'll provide for us. He'll show us ways, you know, how to do things. He'll give us victory. No matter what the situation is. Now, you know, some of us may say, well, you know, those people, they're a bunch of people who are not serving God. They're not living for him. And they seem to be doing pretty good. In fact, they're doing better than I am. You know, than David wrote about that, I think, in the book of Psalms. He said that he has seen the wicked like a green bay tree spreading himself. And then suddenly he looked and he was not. He did, you know, he just disappeared. See, the things of this world are temporary. Yeah. It's here today, but poof, it's gone tomorrow. Yeah. But when we are connected, when we abide, doesn't matter what the situation is, doesn't matter what the circumstance is, we will not only survive, but we will be victorious because he said he always causes us to triumph, didn't he? He said we are more than conquerors, we are overcomers. God, you know, will do this for those of us who are connected, those who live, you know, and those of us who hold on to our faith. Hold on to our faith. We have to hold on. Hebrews 10:23 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. See, we can't be iffy. We're here, you know, we're all, you know, revved up, and yes, praise the Lord, amen. And then next day, everything. We can't do that, you know. We have to be steadfast. I know we get discouraged, you know, but we can't stay there. You know, we cannot stay in the valley of discouragement. We have to get up, pick ourselves up, and you know, just take hold of the word. Take hold of the vine. Take hold of his promises. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. The Passion translation says, but if ye live in life union with me and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. But we can only do this, what he said, if we abide, if we're connected, if we live, you know, if we're here and there and we're everywhere, it wouldn't necessarily work for us. You know, we have to be in constant fellowship, communion with God. You know, he has to be, you know, our everything. You know, some of God's people start to say, you know, we're not in life union with him. You know, we say one thing, but we do something else. God wants us to be doers of the word. If we're, you know, if we're not doing the word, then we need to examine ourselves and make sure we come in union, come in harmony, back with the vine. You know, chiropractors, when you go to the chiropractor, they do adjustments on you. You know, one time I had some issues with my shoulder, and I went to this chiropractor, and he would, you know, make me lay on this bench, and he would do some stuff on my spine, and you know, and he would crack my neck. That part I didn't like. But you know, when I left there, I felt like I was on top of the world, like I could climb a mountain. Whatever he did, whatever adjustments he did, had everything flowing in the right direction, you know. So sometimes we have to make those adjustments so that we get back in union, because there are all kinds of stuff pulling on us, you know, job situation, the kids, you know, the school, not enough money, you know, and these things are pulling us in different directions. You know, and sometimes we get a little off balance. But, you know, we have to get back. We have to make adjustments. Allow the Holy Spirit to help us. He's our helper. He will bring us in sync with the vine. And when we do, God's word will work for us, because he says that he watches over his word to perform. That's in Jeremiah 1:12. I saw this article in the Daily Choice, and it says, to abide in God's word is to delight yourself in his word. Psalms 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will also give thee the desires of your heart. See, we have to delight ourselves in the Lord. You know, too many times we're delighting ourselves in other things that don't benefit us. But we need to take delight in God's word. Delight ourselves in God. The more we delight and abide in his word, the more his desires will be created within us. See, he will bring us in line with his will and his purposes and his plans. Then when we pray according to his will, according to his word, and not according to our own desires, according to our own lusts. See, sometimes I think it was Pastor Rock or Pastor Sharon, one of them said, I think it was Sunday or whenever, you know, that we expect God to come, you know, to line up with what we want. But we need to get in line with him. He's not moving. He's already done everything that he is going to do for us, and he has laid out his promises. And it's up to us to get in line with him. And so when we pray according to his will, when we pray his word, you know, we can get answers to our prayers. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How do we ask? According to whose will? His will. Yeah, we have to ask according to his will, and he'll hear us. How do we know the will of God? By abiding in him, by staying connected. If we're not abiding, you know, we're not connecting, we're not fellowshipping, we don't know what his will is. So we have to stay, we have to be abiding in him. By staying connected to the vine, we get to feast on his word, and we'll know what the word says, and we'll know what his will is. And once we know the will of God and pray in accordance with his will and not our own, we'll have answers to our prayers. But all that comes about by what? Abiding, staying connected. Matthew 6:10. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he told them to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray to God, thy will, not our will, but his will, okay? And once again, how do we know what the will of God is? By staying in connected, by abiding, by, you know, walking in communion with him. Another benefit, you know, is staying connected in the vine. Peace. Peace is a precious commodity these days, isn't it? So many people, you know, have been driven from their homes, you know, because of this stuff between Ukraine and Russia. You know, a lot of people have lost their lives, and I mean, it's just awful. You know, those people, they're hiding out in bunkers and stuff, you know. There's no peace. they're afraid probably to sleep. They don't know when the next bomb is going to drop and they're going to be, you know, they're going to explode. But in the midst of the storm, in the midst of all the bombs and everything dropping about us, God can give us peace. So Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, he whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, we have to keep our minds stayed on God. We have to abide in him. And last but not least, John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. When we abide in the vine, we have joy. When everybody else is sad, you know, and you know, just crying, singing the blues, we have joy. We have peace. This comes from abiding in the vine. There is a joy that remains in us no matter what happens around us. When we are abiding in God's word, and when his word is abiding in us, keeping us connected to the vine is connected to us. In the midst of any storm, we can have joy. And I finally covered the lesson. So what are we going to do, guys?
Abide.
We're going to stay how? Connected. And to whom are we going to be connected?
Jesus.
Amen.